Hey guys, so this is the second half of our favorite games ever episode. It was super long, so we just split it into two halves. Sorry it's out a little bit late, and I didn't do a ton of editing, so there may be some crap stuff left in. I've been really, really busy because I get married in 3 days, so yeah, this isn't going to be the highest quality, but it should be fine. I don't think there was anything too bad in it that I needed to edit out. Hopefully we can get an episode recorded and edited and put out there before I leave for my honeymoon, in 3 days. So, all right. Well, I hope you enjoy it. Bye. Also, wow, I just realized what makes the poppy sound. It's my microphone on my computer. So it looks like I'm going to buy a new microphone and we won't have the poppiness anymore. Anyway. So yeah. Okay. Bye. I made these like seriously like 5 minutes before we recorded the podcast because I forgot to make my list this week. But I think it's a pretty like substantial list. Oh, let's go ahead and say we didn't really pick like any iPhone or PSP games or like Game Gear or anything else. It's really mainly Nintendo games. But like, and it, I felt kind of bad about that. But then I started thinking about it, and you know, it there are awesome games on all those consoles. There really are. But the best games have always been on the Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, you know, DS. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I struggle to think of a PSP game that really made me want to own the console. I think if I had owned one, I might be able to pick like Monster Hunter or Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker or something. But
I owned a PSP at one point, and I mean, it's got lots of great games, and there were games that made me want it. It's just that, you know, Nintendo has been at this the longest, and yeah. I've owned the most Nintendo handhelds, and I think most people can agree that Nintendo obviously has the best handheld games in handheld history. Yeah. If you were to like make a chart or something, just because they have the experience and they've been at it the longest, but like you said, there's plenty of great games for the past handheld systems. There's good games on Game Gear. There's good games on the PSP and the iPhone. It's just for us, these games have meant more to us and have like stood out in our minds the longest.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and start my list then. I didn't put these in any particular order because it'd be really, really hard for me to list these. I love all these games so much. It'd be really hard for me to just kind of go through and put them in any particular order. I may talk about some that I've played more like better than others, but, you know, whatever. So the first game that I have, the first game I'll talk about is Super Mario Land 2, which I don't know why I love Super Mario Land 2 so much. It was the first Game Boy Mario I ever played, and my friend gave me a Japanese version of it, like I said earlier. So that gave it some, kind of like an air of mystery to it, sort of. I was like, I actually thought whenever he gave it to me that it had never been released in America. I didn't know that it was Mario Land 2. So I just love that game. I feel like it's really, really solid. I think it came out after Mario World. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did. And I just, you know, it really was like the last, if it came out after Mario World, that would make it the last, like, really 2D Mario game until New Super Mario Brothers. Am I right? I think so. Or did it come out before World? I'm not sure if it did or not.
I don't know. I'm really not sure. I don't want to say one way or the other, but
anyway.
I mean, if that's true, then yeah.
Yeah. But I really, really enjoyed it. I loved how you could like load all the different power-ups in it. You could get the fire flower power-up. You could get the bunny ears that let you float. And then it had all the different weird worlds. And it was just kind of, you know, like every portable version of a game, it usually has, it's usually a lot weirder than its console iterations. And this game was the same way. There was like the macro world. There was like it had an overworld and everything. And it had like the macro world. It had like, I don't know, what was it? The big tree world. I don't know, the clockwork world or something like that. It was weird, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I don't know. I just love that game so much. I can't wait for that to come out on the virtual console, and I will freak out when it does. Yeah, it came out in Japan in 92, and Mario World came out in 1990. So it was the last 2D Mario game until New Super Mario Brothers.
Jeez.
But yeah. But I really enjoyed Super Mario Land 2, and I feel like it took kind of all the stuff from – it feels like – a little bit of a mix between Mario 3 and Super Mario World. And it kind of took all the stuff from those games and sort of weirded them out in kind of a Link's Awakening kind of way. And I really love that. Really love that game. The one I'll list after that, I'll go ahead and say, which one will I say next? I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, this is a tie because I cannot choose between these games and they're very similar. And I love them both equally, but I'm, okay, Tactics Ogre, The Knight of Lotus for the Game Boy Advance. I don't know if did you ever play Mario Land 2? What do you think about it, Addison? I never asked you.
I really don't think I ever played that one, nor have I played Tactics Ogre. I've always been, I don't think I've ever played a Tactics Ogre game. I've always been interested in them, but I've never actually played one.
But do you like Final Fantasy Tactics?
Yeah.
It's the same guy.
Okay.
The one that just came out for the PSP is actually a port slash kind of remake of the first game that he made, which was Tactics Ogre Let Us Cry Together for the Super Nintendo, which also got ported to the PlayStation, and that's what came out in America. It came out on the PlayStation, but it originally was on the Super Nintendo. Knight of Lotus is the sequel to that game, and it was only on the Game Boy Advance, and it was released by Atlas, and it was the first like turn-based strategy game I ever played. Before Advance Wars, before Final Fantasy Tactics, anything. And I remember just seeing this review of it in Game Informer, and they gave it, what was it? I think they gave it like an 8 or something, some kind of lowish score. Not, lowish high, like it wasn't like a low.
Like a score. 7?
Yeah, it was either like a 7 or an 8. I think it might have been an 8. And they kind of said like it had some serious problems, like the story was kind of terrible and stuff. And I just remember that I went and picked it up with my brother, and we just got so sucked into it. We poured hundreds of hours into that game. We loved it so much. And the story was really cool. It was like, it's like most, you know, strategy RPGs, it's very political, you know, just like Final Fantasy Tactics. It's very like political kind of story. It had so many different kinds of classes. I remember it had a training mode where you could like pit your guys against each other on two different sides to like level up your team. And since my brother and I were playing together, we would use that. We'd divide your team in half and they would fight each other. And we would use that as sort of a multiplayer. We'd pass it back and forth to each other. And I remember they would have different stuff. Like you'd walk it to different spots on the battlefield and just find an item under the ground. I don't know. I love Tactics Ogre, The Knight of Lotus, so much. And I've bought it and lost it so many times because my brother over the years has gotten to be very irresponsible and kind of stupid individual. And he, not stupid, but he's kind of a jerk. And he would just kind of take it from me without permission every time I would buy it again. And then he would end up losing it. So I've probably bought it and lost it like 4 or 5 times over the years. And I'd really like to buy it again, but it's expensive because it's hard to find. It was like a limited one-time release by Atlas. So it's tough to find. But it's if you can track that game down, gosh, it's fantastic. And it's tied for me with Final Fantasy Tactics Advance because that's also by the same guy. And they're very, very similar. And I love Tactics Advance to death.
I almost put that one on my list. It was pretty close.
Yeah. I still think I would probably pick Tactics Ogre above it just because there were some things in Tactics Advance that kind of bugged me a little bit, and the story I didn't feel like was as good as Knight of Lotus. But I still love both those games probably right around the same amount. So, yep, there's those two. What else? Next, I'll go ahead and talk about Puzzle Quest. I gotta list.
Oh yeah.
Dude, I gotta list Puzzle Quest. It's tough for me because I wanted to list Henry Hatsworth, but I've always been more of an RPG guy, and so for whatever reason, I don't know why, but it's just such a. And they haven't been able to really match that formula in the following Puzzle Quest games, but for whatever reason, that game just. I remember my friend like told me about it, and he was just like, as soon as you buy this game, your life's gonna get sucked away. Like you're gonna look up one day and realize you've dropped 80 hours and you've only owned it for 2 weeks. And I was like,
What was the space one called?
Galactrix, Puzzle Quest Galactrix, or something like that.
Yeah, I played that a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, I heard that was really glitchy and not that great, so I never got it.
Yeah, I never had any problems with it. I loved it though.
I never played Puzzle Quest 2 either, but that one was supposed to be okay. But all I know is Puzzle Quest is amazing. I still haven't even beat it yet, but I've played it so much, probably 80 hours, probably 100 hours. And it's still just anytime I'm like gonna leave for a trip, it's still just one of those 4 or 5 DS games that I just throw into like a little stack and carry with
Yeah.
me inside my bag because I know all. I know that at any point I could just pop it in and still have a blast with it. So I love Puzzle Quest to death, and it's also available now on the DSiWare shop for $8. So
Really? Didn't know
yes,
that.
yeah. So if you don't have
That's
it,
yeah, that's way worth it.
you need to buy that game as soon as possible. It's the full retail version of the game, so
Yeah,
have it yet.
I don't own it anymore. I used to, but I think I'll buy that just so I can have it like on my 3DS. I don't have to carry around another cartridge.
Yeah, seriously. And I would definitely do that if I didn't own it already and have a bajillion hours of gameplay. But
Yeah.
I just think I love that game. And I remember I bought it for like 20 or $15 used, and I don't know. I love that. I love Puzzle Quest so much. And it's so kind of stupid and clunky sometimes, but it just for some reason it all falls together perfectly. And I don't know. It just the portable gameplay because of the puzzle and because of the puzzle aspects of it and like being able to save anywhere, it makes a really great portable game. So, I don't know. I love Puzzle Quest. What will I talk about next? Next, I believe I will go ahead and talk about my pick for portable Zelda game, which is Link's Awakening, which I'm sure a lot of people would pick. Addison picked Minish Cap, and I seriously like it was really a kind of a tug of war between those two because I do love Minish Cap, but I guess at the moment I'm really into Link's Awakening, so that was probably what kind of, leveraged my decision. But yeah, Link's Awakening is amazing, and I like all the goofiness and how weird it is, and how it and Super Mario Land 2 sort of have that weird little branching strangeness, from their regular series. But what do you think, Addison? Addison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going? No, I like Link's Awakening a lot. And it is probably the weirdest Zelda game that there is. But I mean, like I said earlier, I picked Minish Cap over it because I just really liked the play style better and the art style. It was such a beautiful game, and I don't know. It was also a really weird Zelda game, but I don't know. I guess I just have better memories of it or whatever, but I definitely got further in it than I ever did Link's Awakening. So that probably helps as well. But yeah, I don't know. I just like it better, have better memories, like the art style better, like the whole
I love
gimmick
Minish
of
Cap's art
shrinking
style.
down. Yeah. So, I mean, Link's Awakening's awesome, but Minish Cap's my favorite portable Zelda.
Cool. And I may have even picked that one if I had been playing it recently, but I haven't played it in so many years. I haven't played it since, well, really since it came out, pretty much. So I can't really speak to it that well. Whatever. What do I talk about next? Let's see. What do I have left? Oh, I do have. Oh, dang. I don't know which one of these I'll pick next. This is hard. This is where it starts getting really hard. Crap. I'll go ahead and say These next three, they're all kind of, these next three little sections are all kind of picked for my top, I would say. Retro Game Challenge is what I'll go ahead and say right now.
Oh yeah, so good.
And I know that some people may not, you know, pick this game, but it just for me personally, it appeals to everything I love about video games: the variety, the goofiness, the nostalgia factor, and it has all the different, you know, kind of game. I love retro games first of all, and I love portable games, and it's a portable game that has multiple retro styled games on it. So it's like, why would this not be on my list?
It should have just been called Jordan Starkweather, the video game.
Pretty much. And I have bought it probably 5 or 6 times for different people for gifts, because I really, 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 really wanted it to do well, and it didn't. I really would like to see the second one, but it probably will never happen, which is really, really sad. And I don't know how I'll ever play the second one, because, you know, I don't know. I have like kind of an R4 card, but it, you know, there's no way it's going to work on a 3DS. So I don't know how I'll ever play it, even if it does get fan translated, which is super sad, because I've heard the second one is actually better, and I can't even like imagine what that would look like. But I don't know. Yeah, Retro Game Challenge. If you haven't bought it or played it, and you're just one of these people that talks about how you support it and stuff, you're an idiot, and you need to go buy it, because it's freaking amazing. I bought it for $10 at Best Buy, just a couple months ago. Yeah, it had been sitting there since the game came out, and it was just sitting in a bargain bin, and it said $20, and I was going to buy it because that was one of the games that got stolen with my DS whenever it got stolen, and I just, you know, I picked it up, and it ended up being $10, and I was just like, wow, it makes me sad that no one ever bought this game. Yep, so that game's awesome. If you don't know the premise of it, some of you may not, it is kind of based on this Japanese show called Game Center CX, where this guy plays through old video games, and it kind of, you know, follows him and how much of a struggle it is for him to beat this game in like one day or whatever. And Kotaku has actually started releasing the episodes of this show and streaming them on its website, so you can check out the show on Kotaku if you want to. It's actually a pretty interesting show and fun to watch, like, once you get into it. It's been running for, like, 10, 12 seasons or something like that in Japan, it's like a pretty big deal there. But it's a game based on that, and basically what happens is this guy sends you back in time, and you have to face all of these old game challenges. And it basically has, and it sends you back to like 1983 or 85 or something like that. And you start off playing this sort of like Galaga clone, a very simple shooter. And you have different challenges you have to meet. And once you've met all the challenges, then it moves ahead a couple of years, and you get a new game, which is, I think, some kind of platformer or a racing game or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was the racing game.
Yeah. Second. And it's cool because it's basically a big simulation for what it was like to grow up in the 80s or even the 90s and like as a gamer, because you're reading magazines that have cheats in them and like that have news on upcoming games. You're like, you're trying to remember cheats. You're trying to like, and I love how the last challenge is you have to beat all the games, because otherwise I would have kind of been disappointed, because I was like, oh, I didn't really beat any of these because none of the challenges told me to beat them. And the last challenge is like, you had to complete each game. And I was like, yes. And there's even a full-fledged RPG in there too. But it's just amazing. It's basically a bunch of little original NES titles. Not even little, just full-on like NES titles that were created originally for this game. And they completely have that NES style. There's tons of in-jokes about, you know, the game industry from years from the 80s. And there's tons of in-jokes about, you know, even video games now and stuff. And just, you know, game culture in general. And it's just kind of like, it's like a big love letter to video games, basically, this whole game is. And I love Retro Game Challenge. I often say that it's my favorite DS game, even though I don't think it's the best DS game. It's probably my personal favorite, just because of everything that's in it. So you should definitely go get it. But even though it's probably my favorite DS game, I still, for some reason, have 2 other games on this list. So, whatever. The next game I will pick is... Oh, this is hard. Okay, I'll go ahead and go with this one. I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about Retro Game Challenge first, Addison? Do you have anything else to say?
It's another amazing XSEED game that people don't buy for some reason. and makes me sad. And I'm kind of depressed now thinking about how I'm not ever going to get to play the second one.
Yep. The second one even goes, like, it's like the Super Nintendo comes, or their version of the Super Nintendo comes out, and the Game Boy comes out in the second one.
Kind of, in a weird way, like, it's not the same kind of game at all, really, but it reminds me of Game Developer Story.
I thought you were going to say that, actually.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just kind of a parody on the games industry and takes you through the history, and yeah. They're both awesome games. So,
and I mean, I never played Game Developer Story, but I could definitely see the same kind of vibe. So
I made so many awesome games that didn't sell well in Game Developer Story. Like some of them involved profanity words, but there's like Hitler versus Ninjas, and I'm pretty sure I made a game that was just called Dinosaur, and like I put like a bunch of exclamation points, and it, I'm just gonna say Game Developer Story on the iPhone gets a nice honorable mention from me, because game's awesome. They have another one. Yeah, that would be awesome. They have another one that plays very similar called Hot Springs Story that I also have purchased and played, but I like Game Developer Story better. Yeah. Hot Spring Story, once you kind of hit a point where everything just kind of starts running itself and you're just kind of just staring at your screen watching your money go up. So it gets kind of boring, runs out of challenges.
Never mind, I'll talk to you about that later. Okay, so my next pick, I believe, this is another one of those things where there's two in sort of the same category because they're very alike. But I'm going to go ahead and say them together. Dragon Quest IX, okay. I'm an RPG guy, like I said, and Dragon Quest series in general is like everything that I love about RPGs. I love old school RPGs. I love the simplicity and sort of how they're so relaxing, and they also kind of invoke this sense of nostalgia, you know. And the Final Fantasy series has sort of gone off the deep end over the years, but Dragon Quest is still, like, you know, where my hope lies. I feel like Dragon Quest IX is, I always say that Dragon Quest VIII is, like, what I was hoping Final Fantasy XII would be. But, Dragon Quest IX, I've definitely dropped, I think, 250 hours into that, or like 200 hours or something.
Jeez.
A ton of gameplay. I don't know if I've ever played any game that much. And there's just, it just keeps, if I wanted to, I could go pick it up right now and still be doing crap on there. Like, I could still be, you know, buying stuff from the online shop or going through the little maps that let you go through randomly generated dungeons and fight bosses and stuff. Because I didn't even get close to completing any of that junk. And some of my guys are already at level 99, and I didn't even get close to completing that stuff. So that's pretty insane. I leveled up several classes as high as they could go. Like, I enjoyed the story. That's the only thing. I love Dragon Quest IX. I love all of the loot gathering and the fact you can see your equipment on yourself and making custom characters after. I made my characters myself, my little brother, my fiance, and her little sister. So it was like, it was like my fiance and I and our siblings. But it was cool, customizing my characters. And I loved taking it and, like, tagging, you know, turning on tag mode. I went to all the tag mode events in the area. And I, like, met people at GameStop and, like, tagged people. And we exchanged maps and stuff, which was awesome. I drove all the way to Springfield for those. But it was, of course, I only lived, like, half an hour away whenever they had those back then. But it was just so much fun. I love Dragon Quest IX, and I remember playing it last year for so long, and I just sort of miss, like, playing it, I guess. But, you know, I've pretty much done everything in it.
Yeah, but, I don't know why it didn't connect with me like it did for you. Because really? I had it, and I played it, and I enjoyed it, but, like, I did not even get anywhere near close to that amount of play. Like, I played, I don't know, maybe like 10 hours of it, and then just kind of got, like, kind of hit a wall and got bored.
Really?
So I'm not sure why that happened. Maybe I need to pick it up again, but
maybe.
Was I don't it know.
Story?
I don't. It's been a while. I really don't remember exactly what it was. I think maybe I just got
I think I was kind of going through a patch then where I was just kind of bored of all video games now that I think about it.
I hate when I get those because I've definitely been in those ruts before when there's nothing coming out that I like, and even the stuff that I used to like, I'm just bored with. But yeah, I love it though. If there is one complaint I have about it, it's that the story is not that strong. It's definitely cool and original and simple, like most Dragon Quest games. I think it's cool because you play as basically an angel from heaven, and which is like kind of it definitely has an original story, but like the it's I don't know the it's just not, and there are some like good twists in it, and the story plays out really well, but it's not like I just wasn't super invested in the story for whatever reason. But it was a good story though. I really did enjoy the story. But I'd say that's a weaker point of it. Also, I felt like the combat could be a little slow at times, especially when compared to, because this next game kind of fills in all those voids. It's not the next game. It's sort of I want to say these are both equal for me. Dragon Quest V, which I've talked about like crazy, has an amazing story and the combat is super fast, which I love because I get into a battle and I'm just like, hey, attack, 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 everybody's dead. Like it's like super fast, and the story is fantastic. But unlike Dragon Quest IX, I'm pretty sure once you beat it, that's about all there is because you play for about 30, 30, 40 hours, and there's a bunch of extra stuff to do in the game. There's tons of extra stuff, but you're not going to have, like the crazy amounts of content that Dragon Quest IX had where you could play for hundreds of hours. But I would say both of those are tied for me because they both kind of fill in different voids and they're very kind of, different games or different games in the series, I guess. But yeah, I would say those.
Neat.
Anything else you had to say about Dragon Quest in general?
I always feel like there needs to be more dragons.
I guess that's kind of true. There's not that many
Feel
dragons.
like for a game named Dragon Quest, they don't typically have very many dragons.
It's very true. Well, Dragon Quest 9 does though, towards the end.
Oh,
And
I didn't get even close to the end.
I bet that most of them probably do towards the end. You just haven't played that far in them. But
I remember fighting a dragon in the PlayStation 2 one. What was that, Dragon Quest 7?
That's 8.
8? Whatever. I remember fighting a dragon in that one. I also remember not liking that game that much.
Yeah, I tried playing it the other day, but I like Dragon Quest 8 and everything, but I feel like a lot of the world looks the same, and I don't know. I'm not a gigantic fan of it. I think it's a really solid game, but I don't think it measures up anywhere near as high as 9 or 5. So in Japan, there was actually a PS2 3D remake of 5 that I would love to play, but it didn't come out here. And I feel like the Game Boy Advance version has the most content anyway, so. Or not the Game Boy Advance, the DS
Oh,
version.
yeah. I was about to say, I thought it was on DS.
Yep. But
Okay.
anyway, and then my final game, and this was really hard for me because it kind of ranks right up there with Dragon Quest IX, but if we're talking about portable games, it has to be Pokemon Heart Gold. It's got to be Pokemon Heart.
I can't tell if you're messing with me or not.
No, I did. It's Pokemon Heart Gold.
Okay. I just feel like you, I don't know. I don't ever seem to hear you talk about Pokemon that much, and
That's because
you didn't seem to get into Black and White all that much.
it's because when Black and White, here's the thing. I loved Heart Gold so much. I love Gold and Silver. Like I'll just say that Heart Gold and Gold and Silver are the same thing, basically. Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver are my two favorite Pokemon games, just because of the sheer amount of content. Because Gold and Silver are already the ones, and then Heart Gold and Soul Silver are remakes of those with even more stuff.
Yeah, there
So,
was so much content.
yeah. I got so far into Heart Gold and Soul Silver. I played with the pedometer so much. I had 80
Yeah.
hours of gameplay, and I had 80 hours of gameplay, and I was just at Lieutenant Surge on Kanto, and then my DS got stolen with, a bunch of my favorite DS games, like 10 games in there, I think. It just happened to be like all my favorites that I had just stuck in there to have with me whenever I had it. So I was so mad, like Puzzle Quest, or no, Puzzle Quest wasn't in there. But anyway, so I kind of got really disheartened after Heart Gold got stolen. and it took a lot out of me to try and buy it again. And like, cause I can't explain how much I love this game. Like I was, and it has such a connection to me from my childhood because, the Pokemon series was, you know, really, it really hit me in kind of a tough place in my life. It was kind of like this big, exciting adventure for me to go on, but I was doing really bad in school when I was a kid, and my parents, you know, were, there was a lot of terrible stuff going on with my family, and it just kind of was like a huge escape for me, and that, and like Ocarina of Time really kind of pulled me into video games, and so I have a very emotional connection to the Pokemon series, and also Heart Gold and Soul Silver specifically. And so I don't know, I think I have to kind of pick those. There's no way I can if not pick them, but it also made it really hard when I lost it. And then I didn't really want to play Black and White. Cause I was kind of like, you know, I just played a Pokemon game a year ago and I'm kind of, you know, I was still mad that it got stolen, but I never picked them up, but I did play it on an R4 card just to kind of demo it. And I got through the first 3 gym leaders, and then the 3DS came out or something like that, and I just stopped playing it. I never bought it, so.
Yeah, well, that's where you and I differ, because I spent, like, a ton of hours on Pokemon Heart Gold, then, like, a year later, got Pokemon Black, and spent almost as many hours, but not really. I probably spent a good, I don't know, somewhere between 55 to 60 hours on Pokemon Black.
Mm-hmm. It was also kind of like, I really actually didn't think Pokemon Black and White were going to be that popular. I really didn't think so, because I felt like the reason why Gold and Silver were so popular is because they were remakes of the best game in the series, and there hadn't been any since, you know, Diamond and Pearl in like 2007. So like, I didn't think they were going to be that popular, because a Pokemon game just came out a year ago. You know, I should have known though. But, you know, and it was like 3 mainline games on one console. So I was like, we don't need 3 on one console. That's kind of like overkill. But little did I know, it was going to be huge. Like all Pokemon, yeah, everything. So
all Pokemon everything.
I still say that if a Pokemon Gray version comes out, I will buy it though.
Oh yeah, Pokemon. here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a scary question to think about, but if you just, of all, if just even the main Pokemon series, if you could add up all the hours that you've spent on those, how many hours do you think that would be?
Oh my gosh, dude, I have no idea.
Because I probably spent like at least 100 hours on Pokemon Blue, probably like around another 100 hours on Pokemon Heart Gold. Hold on, my dog. Oh my gosh.
What? What are you barking about? Doing dog stuff? Me.
Probably spent, I don't know, maybe like 40 hours on Pokemon Ruby, because that was probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
And then probably spent a good 60 hours on Diamond, a good 80 hours on Heart Gold. I skipped over Leaf Green. I probably spent like 50 hours on that. And then like...
You skipped over Leaf Green?
No. I meant I forgot to mention that one in chronological order. Shut up, dog. Yeah. And then like 80 hours on... 80, 90, whatever hours on Gold, Heart Gold, and like 70-ish on Black and White.
Jeez.
That's
probably right around what I've spent too, especially if I add up like all the times I've played through Red and Blue and all the
Hold
times
on.
I've played
Silver. She won't Blue. Shut up. Hold on.
Come here.
My dog is old, and just like, I think she just barks because she forgets.
Forgets what?
I don't know. Dog stuff.
Well, okay.
Oh, she's 13.
Wow, that is old.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So whenever
you named her Spunky, you were actually like really into Rocko's Modern Life back then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I named her Spunky because that's the cartoon I watched like all the time back then.
I thought it was just like a newer dog and you named her Spunky just to be cool because you liked it when you were a kid.
Nope.
That's
funny. None of the show was still airing when I named her that. Yeah, so video games. I guess, do listener questions now?
Oh, wait, I gotta get my honorable mentions.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do my... I have a couple honorable mentions. I want to mention the Professor Layton games.
Oh, yeah. I never
Professor
played
Layton and also Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney games. Dang it, I was just thinking of another one a second ago. Oh, obviously, the Golden Sun games came close to making my list, but those are all great. And Golden Sun DS, for whatever reason, just didn't seem to get a whole lot of publicity. But yeah.
It drug on a little bit. That I felt like it was a little too talky for me personally.
I'm still not even close to beating it, but like I haven't played it in a long time. But I still have it, and I play it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one more than
you're breaking up. Addison. Addison, you're breaking up.
I can't think of what it is.
Addison.
Okay, that's it for my honorable mentions. What? No, I'm not. What? What?
You're breaking up.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Okay. All right, I have a bunch of honorable mentions. I'm just going to talk about them very briefly.
Rhythm Heaven.
Focus on them too much. No, I've never played Rhythm Heaven. But you.
That's my last one.
Okay, awesome.
Rhythm Heaven and Elite Beat Agents as like a tie.
See, I feel like you have all these games that I never played that everyone said were amazing, but that I never played, like Rhythm Heaven. And I played a little bit of Phoenix Wright, which I loved, but I didn't play it that much. I never played a single Professor Layton game, you know, but whatever. I'm glad that you can talk about them at least. Because I probably have more of the super obscure stuff in my brain. My first honorable mention has to be the Game Boy camera, because that was the first thing, that was the first portable thing I ever owned ever, and I loved it so much when I was a kid, and it had like a bunch of little mini games on it and little things to do, and it kind of helped to form like what I love about games now. Like it wasn't really a game, but it had a bunch of little stuff in it that kept me sidetracked, like little mini games here and little thing, like you could make music over here, or I could take stupid pictures and put little Pokemon sprites on it, you know, and you know, different stuff like that.
I still have a printed out Game Boy picture on my bulletin board.
Do you?
Yeah, it's like, because I never had a Game Boy camera, but one of my friends did. So I have like this picture of me with like googly eyes and like a Pokemon. Like there's like, I think I have a Mew like next to my face.
One of my favorite things to do was to point the camera at myself and keep hitting the A button over and over and over and over and take a huge series of photos, and then it would look like a stop motion movie, and then I would take the sprites and I would make it look like I was a monster, like slashing at planes in slow motion and like and like shooting lasers out of my eyes and stuff. Like doing all kinds of stuff like that when I was a kid. I don't know. I loved the Game Boy camera, and it was, I don't know, it was awesome. My grandma bought us a Game Boy Pocket and a Game Boy camera, and that was all we had until we bought The Lost World for Game Boy, which was also amazing. Not really, but I enjoyed it. What else? Oh, the Mario and Luigi, the first one. Well, I guess the series. I really only played, you know, most of the first one. I didn't play much of the rest of it. But I played a lot of Superstar Saga. And I really, really, really want to buy Bowser's Inside Story, because I played a bit of that, but it turned out the cartridge I bought was a pirated one from like China or something, and it ended up like erasing my save file every time I would save for the third time or something like that.
Bowser's Inside Story was really cool. I never actually beat it, but I got pretty far, and I really liked it. That's another one that another series of games that got pretty close to being on my list was. Yeah. All those Mario RPGs, they're just kind of like spiritual successors to Super Mario RPG, and they're so funny, and they just, the writing in those games are just so good.
I love when Mario talks in Bowser's Inside Story, and he has like all the made-up Italian words. Arrivederci!
Yeah.
And then I was like, it's so racist, but it's funny. But I also reminds me that I can't freaking wait for Paper Mario for the 3DS, because I just love the Mario RPGs, like Paper Mario or Super Mario or Mario and Luigi, either one.
Yeah.
But did you
play the Paper Mario game on the GameCube?
No, I didn't play that one actually.
Oh man, that one was it was so funny. There was this boss battle that you have with a dragon, and like for part of the boss battle, it turns into like a dating sim, and it's so funny. It was like the funniest thing ever in a Paper Mario game.
I need to get that game really bad.
Yeah, I think it was called like the Thousand Year Door or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
It's really fun.
I remember when Paper Mario came out, I had no idea what it was, but it just looked stupid to me. But I didn't realize it was an RPG when I was a kid. But then I played it years later and loved it. Anyway, this one was actually on my list, but I crossed it off to put in Retro Game Challenge because it came really close. It's Contra 4.
Yeah.
I love Contra 4. It puts hair on my chest and it taught me how to be a man. And
it's a good game.
I still can't beat it. And it also has Contra and Super Contra on there too, which is awesome. And then I also put Animal Crossing. DS, because that's amazing and I love it. And then I also put Golden Sun. And then I put a question mark after this one. I put Final Fantasy ports question mark, because I also kind of hate them, because they've made me kind of buy some games over again. But at the same time, like, I never really owned Final Fantasy V, so that's good. And Final Fantasy IV is the best version of Final Fantasy IV, the one for the Game Boy Advance. And Final Fantasy VI, that was the first time I really got into it. I didn't end up beating it on the Game Boy Advance, but I really played it a lot on there, and then I ended up playing it again and beating it on the Super Nintendo. And then I loved Final Fantasy III Remake, and I liked the Final Fantasy IV Remake, so I guess I do like those. Put Harvest Moon 2 for the Game Boy, because that was the first Harvest Moon game I ever played, and I really, really enjoyed it as a kid.
Oh, What's the spin-off series of that called?
Rune Factory?
Yeah, have you played Rune Factory?
Nope.
I really liked Rune Factory. I still think I like the Harvest Moon games better. Some of those Harvest Moon games are kind of hit and miss. Some of them are like...
Yeah, they are.
...really bad, and then some of them are really good. Like, I got the original Harvest Moon for like Super Nintendo on Virtual Console when it came out, and I was so psyched. And then I started playing it, and it's just, they don't really point you in the right direction very much. Yeah, it's kind of like it was kind of hard to figure out stuff on that. And so, I don't know. My favorite Harvest Moon is probably still like Harvest Moon 64.
Yeah, that's also, I think, well, maybe not. I think the PlayStation 1 is the same thing as that one, but I don't remember. I really liked the PlayStation 1, though, and I think it's pretty much the same thing as 64. But Harvest Moon 2, I'm really glad it was the first one I ever played, because it was like, it's for the Game Boy, and it's it really was one of the easier ones. Like, it wasn't, you could fish a lot, and you could, I don't remember, there's just a lot of different things. You could also get mini games, like video games, to play on your TV in that one.
Really?
Yeah, there was like, huh. I remember there was it had a bunch of little mini games in there. The only one I really remember was the whack-a-mole game that you actually had to play at the farm to get rid of moles, but then you could play it on the TV. I just remember Harvest Moon 2 being like, I'd never played Harvest Moon in my life, but then my Japanese friend Chris once again was like, hey, you should play this. And I was like, okay. And then I played it for like, I was at his house and I played it from the time I arrived and spent the night and then all day the next morning. And then he was just like, okay, you can borrow it. And then I never gave it back. And I still have it too. I love Harvest Moon 2. I also put down Phantasy Star Zero. I love Phantasy Star Online, and I really, really, really enjoyed this game. I love Phantasy Star Online so much. It's a really simple type of game, but I just love the multiplayer aspect and kind of the dungeon crawl aspect and getting all the loot and stuff. And Phantasy Star Zero really kind of brought back that original Phantasy Star Online feel. So I really enjoyed that, even though it had a stupid story. I didn't enjoy the art design as much, but I really, really did like it. And then I also put this one just kind of to be stupid, but also because I really like this game. Jurassic Park 3 Park Builder for the Game Boy Advance.
I was just thinking about that game, actually.
You were talking about Roller Coaster Tycoon, and that's what reminded me of it. And I was like, dude, it's kind of, I love that game. And then Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah, I was just thinking, man, I need to emulate that game or something.
Yep, so there's all those.
I never played that one, but I played the Operation Genesis PlayStation 2 game.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Operation Genesis came out after Park Builder, so I'm pretty sure it took a lot of inspiration from that. But they're pretty much like almost the same thing, except Operation Genesis is obviously going to be better because it's on the PC and PS2. But
yeah,
like Operation Genesis runs for like $65 for the PS2.
I know. We have a used copy of Vintage Stock. I don't know if we still have it, and I came really close to buying it, but it's like, it's not $65. Like, I think we have it like for 30 or 40.
Oh, I've got Windows on my PC now. I can get it if I want to. Maybe I will tomorrow.
I was doing that the other day, and it was really complicated. Like, I could get it to start running, and then it would crash, and I don't know.
Well, maybe I could find it on Steam or Good Old Games or something.
Yeah, I know it's not on Steam, but I haven't checked Good Old Games. I would actually make it a Good Old Games account finally for that.
Anyway, listener questions.
On our show post, Wolfie Bowie asked, what are your thoughts on Solotorobo?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really heard anything about it until you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Go ahead.
Okay. I hadn't really heard like much about it at all until you mentioned it today. And so I kind of looked it up. I thought it sounded interesting and everything from the details I read and for like the story and everything. And then I looked at the game cover and the characters, and I decided that there is no freaking way I'm ever going to play this game. I can't play a game that's kind of built for a furry audience and has all these anamorphic, whatever, creature characters that like are these weird fox people. I mean, some games get a slide.
The whole story kind of incorporates that.
Like, I love Star Fox.
Mm-hmm. The whole story kind
of... I love Star
Fox. Because it said, it's like, it takes place after the world has ended and, like, all the animals have evolved and stuff, I guess.
No. I like Star Fox and I love Animal Crossing, but, no, I'm not going to play this. I feel like the people that made this game just got on DeviantArt for like an hour and were like, well, this is what the people demand. Time to make a furry game. And I'm sorry if somebody listening to our show is a furry, but like everything about the furry subculture just disturbs me and creeps me out, and I will not be playing this game. I'm sure it's a fantastic game and it'll probably be well received by critics, but not for me.
Yeah, I see. I don't know, that's the only thing that really turns me off is the art style. But I've played good games before that I didn't like the art style of, so I don't know, I would consider playing it just because I love RPGs, but right now, I'm kind of on the edge. I'd really have to see more of it and to hear what it's like. It'd have to be, like, amazing for me to really want to play it, especially since it's a DS game and I'm starting to not really want DS games anymore. You know, I really just want to get, like, Monster Tail and then Radiant Historia and kind of be done with the DS for now. So, I don't know, but we'll see. I don't know. And then our last question was from Ender, and he asked us, what's your favorite Game Boy iteration? He said, I hope I'm not too late to the party again, because last week he asked a question, but he was late, so we just talked about it on Twitter with him. But he said, I hope not too late to the party again. Anyway, I like the Game Boy Advance SP second model with the uber bright screen, which we already talked about that, actually, in one of our other episodes. Addison didn't even know about that. And also, Addison, can you do that deal for me and get me one of those?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't asked.
Okay.
Actually, the Vintage Stock employee that I mentioned that I said was going to be listening to Pocketoid, and I know she listened to at least one episode because she had a Facebook update about it. But yeah, she's the video game manager. I haven't asked her yet, so I hope she didn't listen to that episode. But I'll try to remember to ask her tomorrow. I don't know. That'll be kind of iffy.
Okay, but, whatever.
But don't get mad.
Or you could get it for me for a wedding present.
Gosh. I'm so poor right now.
I'm kidding.
I love you.
Nothing, whatever.
I just want to... Gosh dang it, Jordan. Really, I just want to...
You buy me a Game Boy Advance. That's what I told my dad when I was a kid.
Oh my gosh. I saw your dad at the mall the other day. The end.
Kidding.
I just want to get something set straight right now, and I'm sure most people already are aware of this and agree with me. I hear people say this all the time and it bugs me. But the DS is not a Game Boy. Like, I know they don't make anything called Game Boy blah 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 whatever anymore. Mm-hmm. But the DS isn't a Game Boy. I know it's a handheld Nintendo system, but it doesn't have the words Game Boy in the title. So I do not consider it a Game Boy system. So if we're going to go with favorite iteration of the Game Boy, I would also say the Game Boy Advance SP with the uber bright screen, because the clamshell design was just so nice. It was like such a good size and could easily fit in your pocket. And the controls, like the buttons, like had a nice little click to them. And I just spent so much time playing Pokemon on there and other awesome games, but mostly Pokemon. and it was just a great system. I would probably say my second favorite one would be Game Boy Pocket. Mm-hmm. Just from memories I had of it, and I had a really nice green Game Boy Pocket that I loved.
That is true. I did love the Game Boy Pocket. Actually,
it's what I played Pokemon Blue on.
I don't know if you ever heard of this. My friend Chris has one, and I basically want to buy it off of him, but I don't know if he would ever sell it to me. It's called the Game Boy Light, I think. You ever heard of that?
Yeah. Yeah, the Japanese one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only in Japan, and it was a Game Boy Pocket with a backlit screen, and yep. Chris has one, and it's fantastic, and I would really love to buy that from him, but I don't know if he would ever sell it to me or how much you'd want to sell it to me for. Anyway.
Yeah, I remember that.
But let's see, what are my favorite iterations? As far as the Game Boy Advance, is he just saying of the Game Boy in general, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, Game Boy iteration. I don't know. I think I would really love the Game Boy Advance SP with the really good backlit screen if I could get one, but I don't have one. So I think I would probably pick that one if I did. Since I don't have one, I'd probably go with the, cause I really love the SP and I love how durable it is and how compact and everything it is. It just feels really nice. But since I don't have one for right now, I'd probably go with the Game Boy Pocket for Game Boy Advance games, just because I like the backlit screen. It's really tiny. I like how it's like the most portable thing in the world, basically. But if it's not that one, I would probably go with the Game Boy Light as my favorite iteration of the Game Boy, which it sucks because I don't own either of those. So my two favorite iterations of the Game Boy, I don't even own. But whatever.
Yeah. Hi. Hello.
Hey, hold on. There's a bug. Hello? I'm gonna kill it. Hold on, there's a bug.
Hey.
Hold on.
Hey.
Hold on, there's a bug.
You get it?
Hold on.
You kill it?
There's a June bug in my house.
Those things are stupid.
I don't know how it got in here.
How is it even, like, moving? Why is it just not laying on its back like every other June bug ever?
Ew, they're so crunchy.
Ew.
Okay.
PETA's gonna hate this episode.
Ugh. Dude, this episode's way too long.
Yeah, and PETA's gonna hate it because you just kill a bug and I keep yelling at my dogs. And also
Pokemon. Who'd you say is gonna hate it?
PETA.
Oh, PETA.
they're also probably not big fans of Pokemon either.
Yeah, I'm sure that all five of our listeners are gonna hate it so much.
Literally fives of listeners.
Actually, we have like 13 subscribers now on our feed.
We will probably have two after this.
So that concludes Pocket Toid for this week. And now that we're done recording, it's time to record next week's episode already. I think we've been talking for a week now.
Yep. Hey, let's plug our shiz.
Okay. We are Pocket Toid. You can find us on Twitter at Twitter / Pocket Toid. Weird, right? We're on Destructoid. Just Destructoid / blogs / Pocket Toid. We have a website where you can stream and download our shows and see pictures, pockettoid.blogspot.com. We have a feed that's like feeds.feedburner.com/pockettoid. You can email us at pockettoid@gmail.com. We're on the internet. Please, you can download us on iTunes, of course. Just search for Pocket Toid and Manly and Sexy.
yeah, you can search for those two and it'll pop up.
Yeah. Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes if you would. Yes, please. It would mean a lot to us. During these plugs, I actually kind of want to plug another podcast that we're not affiliated with at all. But I know there's a new, well, it's not really a new, kind of like a reboot podcast from Touch Arcade, headed up by ex-Destructoid writer Brad Nicholson.
Oh, cool.
And I haven't listened to it yet, but, you know, it's all iPod Touch and iPad, iPhone games and stuff, and I love Brad. He's a really cool guy, and
I used to enjoy that podcast too.
Yeah, this one, Brad's heading it up, and I guess it's a little bit different. It is explicit now, so please don't freak out. I know they've gotten some backlash on that, but whatever. Like I said, unfortunately, I haven't got around to listening to it yet. I plan on listening to it, but I'm sure it's fantastic because I listen to the Electric Hydra every week, and Brad heads that up for the most part, and I love the Electric Hydra, so I'm sure it's good. Awesome. So that's a lot of stuff that we're on. Listen to us. Send us words. Follow us on Twitter. We need more followers.
Yes, we do. Of course, most podcasts don't have that many followers, though, so it isn't really surprising that much.
Yeah. We need more people to ask us questions. It's hard to have listener questions without questions.
Yeah. I'm glad that I think Ardyne and what's his face? I always forget his name. Easy Nam. I think Ardyne and Easy Nam are checking us out, though, which is cool, because I like both those guys. They're really awesome indie game developers. You should really check out Ardyne's stuff. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And Easy Nam's an awesome guy, too. So, yep.
Well, we haven't really figured out what we're going to...
Addison!
...do for a theme for next week, but we'll get it figured out in the... Hopefully, in the... What?
You were breaking up.
No, I'm not. Whenever I start breaking up, just calm down for a few seconds and see if it gets better. Because you break up on my end sometimes, but I can still catch most of it.
Yeah, and, when it records, you're like really bad because you're like.
Okay.
Well, anyways, we haven't figured out our theme for next week yet, but it'll be awesome. It'll be rad. It'll be super cool, and you'll listen to it with your ears and be happy that you did.
Yep.
And hopefully in next week or a soon-ish episode, we will have Destructoid writer Tony Ponce on with us.
Mm-hmm.
He has expressed interest since I made him express interest, so hopefully he'll be on soon.
Yep. And then we want to have some other guests on here as well, but we'll figure all that out. And next time we'll try and record an episode that's not 40 hours long. So.
Yeah. So, okay, love you, bye.
All right, bye. Dude, now I'm playing Harvest Moon 2.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Oh, sorry.